I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, HYPERTHETICAL.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the attempted assassination of Andrew Jackson.
So grab your loaded pistols.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And we are recording on a Sunday night, which we never do.
It's risky.
We never do Sunday nights.
Mm-mm.
We either do weekend mornings.
Correct.
/ afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
Or like weekday evenings, but never a Sunday evening.
No, we never do Sunday evenings because I feel like at one point fairly early on, we discovered evenings not the best time for us.
I would say not the ideal time for us, but I also think it depends on what we're talking about. Because I think that today's topic will garner a lot for me. I've been gearing up for this conversation since we had to reschedule this recording session from yesterday.
Amazing.
So,
yeah.
I am hot to trot. I've got my Supreme Court mug. I'm ready to talk about the attempted assassination of one of our least favorite presidents, Andrew Jackson. They almost got him.
They almost got him. They almost got him.
They almost got him.
And I feel like the reason he wasn't gotten was because that man was like, fuck off. Do you know
yeah.
who I mean, like, he's just...
Do you know who I am?
A fighter.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the best and the worst sense of the words. He is a fighter.
Right. I think I want to say up top right here, right now, we're gonna lay on some... I wouldn't call it praise of Andrew Jackson, but there will be some moments where I can appreciate
sure
the gumption behind. But at the end of the day, it's a no for me when it comes to Andrew Jackson. So I don't want that to be confused at all. If you're an Andrew Jackson fanatic, once again, I don't think this is the place for you. I'm pretty sure I've sent away Andrew Jackson fanatics in the past.
I'm pretty sure you have. I do recall. So
just reminding the Jackson heads out there that this isn't for you.
I stand Andrew Jackson. Oh my God.
Okay.
He's amazing.
But we've talked about a lot of assassinations on this episode. I think we've covered almost all the major ones except like a full big one on JFK.
Oh, because it's so intimidating.
We've never done an attempted.
No.
It's so intimidating. We'll do JFK in a 50-part series when we have the mental capacity to take it on.
Yes.
But until then, we've covered a lot of big ones.
We have.
But never an attempted.
No, because, you know, I don't think we've ever talked about, like, we've never really talked about Reagan at all.
I know. Well, there's so, well, when you think of attempted, it opened, we haven't talked about Teddy Roosevelt. Somebody tried to shoot him. In my favorite assassination story or / attempted assassination story, you know, so there's a whole new world out there. I thought we were at the end of our assassination exploration, but We're not. We're here.
No.
And we're going to start talking about attempted ones because it's also interesting. We're going to find out if this assassin.
It's super interesting.
Is hot. We're going to find that out if they're hot or not. Huge.
Oh, yeah.
Have you looked him up?
I have not because I didn't want to do that without you. I didn't want to do that without you.
Save it?
Yes. Well, there's a whole section we'll talk about him. And I feel like that's when we look him up. Richard Lawrence is his name.
But you also
know that it's not, he did not succeed because we don't know his middle name.
Right.
He's not a three-part namer because he failed.
Right. Right. And you don't get your middle name out there if you don't
you gotta
win.
Not that I'm advocating, but you gotta earn.
Yeah. Oh, I guess a good thing to say at the top as well, nobody go assassinating anybody. This is a terrible decision.
Terrible.
Don't kill people. Don't hurt people. Don't harm people.
No.
Period.
Yes.
Period.
We don't condone it.
We don't condone it. We're going to explore it, but we're not condoning it. Mm-mm. Okay? I think there's a difference. Mm-hmm. I think there's a difference. So before we jump into our non-condoning episode of the attempted assassination of Andrew Jackson, do you want to talk about the sources?
I sure do. Okay. So our first source is history.com.
Obviously.
Second source, Smithsonian Magazine. A great little article by Lorraine Boissonnault.
Love the name.
An article in Politico by Andrew Glass. And just a little bit from the U.S. Senate.
You know I love when we talk to the U.S. Senate.
It's so
Wasn't
great.
Andrew Jackson a senator? Am I crazy?
I do believe he was. Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Look, guys, if you're already angry, I am not coming in here with all of the knowledge about Andrew Jackson. I just, you tell me to commit time to that man, and I'm going to say no.
No.
No, no more than necessary. No more than necessary. We're only here because I am curious about assassinations, not about Andrew
Jackson. We're here for the attempted murder, not the man.
Not the man. So let's talk about what happened with this attempted assassination. Let's get the timeline of events. Here we go. On January 30th, 1835, Andrew Jackson became the first American president to experience an assassination attempt. Ooh, if you're not first, you're last. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
6 years into his presidency, Jackson had used bluster and fiery speeches to garner support for his emergent Democratic coalition. Mm-hmm. AKA, he was an asshole who said assholey things. To bring people together.
Yes. What brings people together more than assholery?
Being a jerk. He used his veto power far more often than previous presidents, obstructing congressional action and making political enemies in the process. You don't say.
Not a well-liked man.
Sure. Richard Lawrence, an unemployed house painter, okay, approached Jackson as he left a congressional funeral held in the House chamber of the Capitol building and shot him, but his gun misfired. A furious 67.
I know!
Oh my God. A furious 67-year-old Jackson confronted his attacker, clubbing Lawrence several times with his walking cane. Pow! Pow, pow, pow,
pow. Do you know what it reminds me of?
What does it remind you of?
Miracle on 34th Street, the original. When old guy who plays Santa, he gets mad at the guy who's the psychiatrist.
The, like, psychiatrist, yeah.
Right, and, like, clubs him on the head because he gets angry with him. That's exact. I mean.
But he just gives, like, one, like, bop. He just bops him.
Bops him. Yeah, he does. He bops him.
Well, whereas 67-year-old Andrew Jackson, I think, probably beat the shit out of this kid with his walking cane.
I do believe the term clubbing.
Clubbing is a real adjective here.
It's a real adjective here.
I have to say, and this is one of those moments that I said would happen at the top of this show. Again, not a fan of Jackson, but love this vibe. Oh. Love this vibe. 67 years old in 1835, mind you, which is probably 136 in today's time.
Yes.
Is like, I'm so sorry. Did you just shoot at me? Bow, 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 bow. Hell yeah. During the scuffle, Lawrence managed to pull out a second loaded pistol and pull the trigger, but it also misfired.
This poor man, like, he's so angry.
Shoot me once, shame on you. Shoot me twice, shame on me. You know what I mean? I can't believe, you know what? Here's the thing. What are the odds, this poor Richard Lawrence, that both of his pistols misfire?
Do you want to know something? I have that information, and it's at the actual statistics are at the end. I kid you not. They did a study.
Oh, my God.
They did a study with the actual guns that he used.
I love that we have, like, you know, children living in poverty, and we're just putting money towards. How is it possible that two guns misfired while shooting Andrew Jackson?
Oh, well, to be fair, the study was done in 1930.
Still. And the Dust Bowl? Boy, that's worse.
But
it's,
I guarantee
it's a worse time.
But I guarantee you, it wasn't it's like a
right
like
before
a,
the crash, like right before everything. No wonder it crashed. But everybody was too busy being like, "How? Two guns?
Two guns? How? How? How?" But basically, what they did is they got the guns that he used and they shot them and they fired, and so then they calculated statistically what would that, like, what are the odds of that? And yeah. It's rare. I mean, Jackson
should be. Well, don't
give
it away. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. But he should be grateful.
Yeah. So Richard Lawrence has pulled out not one, but two pistols. They've both misfired. Within moments, Navy Lieutenant Thomas Gedney and Tennessee Congressman Davy Crockett.
I know. It's so good. There's so much in here you don't even know.
Davy Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier, Alamo hero Davy Crockett.
Him.
Wow.
I know.
Everything
I know.
Really does connect.
It really is. And, like, pretty sure Lincoln is alive at this time. Like, there's just.
Lincoln shows up and is like, stop. Okay, so Davy Crockett's here. The two men subdued Lawrence and hurried the president off to a carriage so he could be transported to the White House. Wow, thank God for bystanders who happen to be Davy frickin' Crockett. Imagine, of all of the congressmen, you're going to get, like, the King of the Wild Frontier
right. To
happen to be next to you as you're being shot at not once but twice.
He's so lucky.
Andrew Jackson.
He's so lucky.
He really is.
Yes.
Because, I mean, yeah, not only did the pistols misfire twice, but also Davy Crockett right there. If I could have somebody fight for me, like, Davy Crockett would be on the short list. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I had, like, a champion.
Well, of course. He's got a great hat.
Great hat. And it's like that wild, wild west vibe. Just being like, you may all go to hell. I'm going to go to Texas. Like,
right. That's his vibe. Probably, like, good and, like smelly from the west and the dust. Like, he's got that good dirt feel, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're outside, not because you don't shower. Like that good good duster.
Right. Feel. He showers in the river.
Right.
Or
right.
Bathes in the river. Oh.
Right. Okay. That's great.
Shout out to Davy Crockett.
So let's talk about the assassin or the attempted assassinator. Let's talk about him. His name is Richard Lawrence, like Lizzie said. He was born in England, but moved to Washington, D.C. in 1812 and became a house painter. He was polite and hardworking, but he also displayed signs of mental instability and nursed a growing delusion that he was a long-lost heir to the British throne.
Same.
Yes. I mean, you Although, are Lizzie.
Anastasia for me.
Yes. Yes.
Oh. You know what? I think if you're gonna have delusions of anything, let it be that you are the long-lost heir to the British throne. Like, to me, that is dreaming big and beautiful.
Yes.
I'm like... Like, imagine thinking yourself, because I can't imagine myself, like, if I, you know, when you think of, like, who you might have been in a past life?
Yeah.
And I think when people do that, they're like, ooh, I probably would have been, like, somebody really exciting. Me, I'm like, I probably was a cobbler and a bad one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have delusions of grandeur, so I always appreciate when somebody looks within themselves and is like, do you know what I am? The heir to the British throne. not like related. The heir.
The heir.
First in line. Not the spare. The heir.
The heir. And he's so sure about it.
He's so sure. He's, to be he so attempts sure, I'm not to sure shoot about anything. The president.
I'm not quite sure how he thought, like, what shooting the president of the United States, like, what would England be like, oh my God, dude.
Oh my God.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much. Come, rule.
Enemies of the air, beware. Like, the Chamber of Secrets tells us everything we need to know.
So Lawrence is mentally unwell. He's mm-hmm. British, born British, and he believes he's the heir, the long-lost heir to the British throne. His insanity was fairly obvious. Not only did the painter believe the president had killed his father.
To be fair, Andrew Jackson probably did.
He killed everybody. A lot of people.
Like, that's, to me, that's like the most sane thing. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're like, statistically speaking, if there was a president who was going to be responsible for the murder of somebody's
murder of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. 100%. It's not, you know? We don't have the evidence to suggest otherwise. Okay.
So he believes he's the heir to the British throne. He believes the president killed his father. And he was also convinced that he was the 15th century English king, Richard III. And he was entitled to payments from his American colonies. And that Jackson had prevented him from receiving that money because he was opposed to reauthorizing the charter for the Second Bank of the United States.
I love this. I love this. This is the best motive we have seen for an assassination by far. Because now, not only is he the heir to the British throne, he's also
a king.
Past life King Richard III. The third. Isn't that the one with, like...
The hump? Is that the hump?
The hump? Of all of the kings to be, wouldn't have been my choice. But, like, again, he's making himself a king.
Yes, he is.
And he's like, you got to give me my money. This is business.
Business.
Oh my God. Go off, Richard Lawrence. Like,
yes, he really went in for it. And then the crazy thing, I mean, and it all sounds very crazy, is that he believes all of these things, but then his solution to them and the reason he's mad is rooted in reality.
Sure. Like,
the thing about the bank actually is
real.
True. Is real.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is a person who's like a somewhat functioning member of society. I mean, he like has work, so there has to be some groundedness to his behaviors, even though he is 15th century English King Richard III.
Right, and owed money.
He's also a house painter.
Right, because what are you gonna do? You gotta. Feed your kids somehow. You gotta earn your living.
You gotta exist in this 1835 world.
Yes.
I totally get it. I totally am with him.
We're gonna take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So we're going to talk about the bank a little bit.
We got
just to like understand what this bank was about and what, because like it, like the bank, the assassination attempt threw Jackson into a tizzy because for obvious reasons, I mean, who wants to be almost murdered?
Not me.
But he really thought it was like politically oriented, not that this guy was just crazy and talking crazy. So we're going to talk about the bank a little bit. Also, it's not that complicated, so I feel like let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So Jackson thought that the bank, the Second Bank of the United States, represented the dangers of the wealthy aristocracy by occupying a place of privilege in government that wasn't accessible to average Americans.
Okay.
He said, quote, "It is to be regretted that the rich and powerful too often bend the acts of government to their selfish purposes," close quote.
True.
So at the trial, at Richard Lawrence's trial in 1835, with attorney Francis Scott Key prosecuting. Can we?
Oh, say can you see?
By Don's early fucking
Oh, say
lie.
Can you see Francis Scott Key showing up?
Oh,
do you know what this
God.
Feels like?
A
this
TV show.
Like a TV show. It feels like one of those, what's those things when you like, you have to like name a noun and then name a verb and then name a person and then you like read a thing aloud and it like creates the story based on the
oh like a Mad Lib Mad Libs
a Mad Lib this feels like a Mad Lib
yes
this feels like a wild Mad Lib and it's just of random people that you never associate like I don't
no.
associate Francis Scott Key with Andrew Jackson and Davy Crockett
and he's a lawyer I didn't know that
and he's a lawyer
and he's a lawyer
he just,
and
they
just, wrote I thought he just right are you kidding me.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's, say, can you see? He's here. Okay. Talk about multi-hyphenate Francis Scott Key.
Oh, my God. Stop. Actor, singer, dancer, move over.
Mm.
So it's Richard Lawrence's trial, the attempted assassin. It's April 1835. Francis Scott Key is prosecuting Lawrence. And Lawrence announces to the jurors, quote, "It is for me, gentlemen, to pass upon you, and not to you upon me." Because
thanks,
he's the king.
Wait, that's Lawrence who said that? Oh, I thought that was Francis Scott Key. Oh my God, because he's the king, that makes, yes.
He's the king. You don't get to talk about the king, he gets to talk about you.
I judge you.
Yeah,
you don't judge me. This guy is a 10 out of 10.
I think it's out of 10. I think it's time to see what he looked like, if we can.
Do you want to? Sure.
Yes.
Okay, well, Richard.
I don't know why, but I'm erring on the not hot side.
I am also erring on not hot. Okay, we just have... Oh, do we not have an actual... We have a sketch. It's a bad sketch.
Yeah, it's not a great...
Oh, I don't think we have an actual picture of him.
No. That's well, so... to be fair, did we have... I don't know that we had the... When were cameras invented?
You're asking the wrong girl.
But yes, oh, but we do have an image of... Or a sketch of the clubbing.
Yeah, I see that. That's great.
It's great.
I'm going to say that he was not attractive based on the sketches.
I think that's accurate. I will say though,
great legs.
He's got great legs. He does seem to
have. Looks like he has some gams.
Yes, he's got some good attire. It looks like. He's got a top hat in many of the sketches, as they all do.
Yeah.
You know, like my main comment would be that his hair seems a little long.
Right. Well, he's going through it.
Right.
You know, he's got a lot on his mind, a lot on his plate, being sort of the king of England. Like, you don't have time for a hair. I barely have time for a haircut, and I am not 15th century King Richard III. You know?
You're not. No, you're Lizzie, Queen of the United Kingdom 2023.
You're right.
That's it. So, according to sketches, we're not hot. He's got some
not
issues,
hot.
So you can't really blame mm-hmm. him. He goes to court. Francis Scott Key is prosecuting him. He is found not guilty by reason of insanity and confined to a hospital for the mentally ill until his death in 1861.
I think that's
you
correct.
Know, it's 1835. What are you going to do? We don't have anti-schizophrenic meds.
All roads lead to mm-hmm. you're not well.
You're
not
well.
Fit enough to stand trial.
You're not well.
Lawrence.
No.
So circling back to this bank war, let's talk more about the bank war, because obviously it was enough to rile somebody's feathers, enough to try to shoot Andrew Jackson not once but twice.
Mm-hmm.
So in the years before the assassination attempt, Jackson came out swinging against the Bank of the United States, parentheses, bus, The chartered corporation was the second of its kind. The first was chartered in 1791 as the brainchild of a friend of the show, Alexander Hamilton. Yes. Very emotional guy. When Congress allowed the charter on the first bank to expire in 1811, they quickly discovered how important a function it served. It issued currency, opened branches throughout the country, brokered loans if the U.S. needed to borrow money, and moved money between banks. So, in 1816, Congress passed a new 20-year-long charter for the bank. Makes sense. They're makes like, sense. Oh, we need this to function. Cool.
Oh, cool. Let's make it so.
In the period of the 1820s, most observers thought the bank behaved responsibly. It served the government well and kept out of politics. In 1829, Jackson attacked the banks and that kind of startled everybody. He said it represented a dangerous concentration of power. This is very Andrew Jackson, right? So this thing is running along. It's working. Everybody's like, this seems to be going well. And Andrew Jackson's like, this is horrible. And they're like, what? We weren't even talking to you
about this. This like, wasn't on the agenda.
What? In 1832, Congress passed a bill to preemptively recharter the bus. Jackson, surprise, vetoed it, though the bank would remain in place for another 4 years. So Jackson's not having anything to do with this bank.
He doesn't like it.
The veto became a major campaign issue when Jackson ran for re-election that year. Empowered by an overwhelming electoral victory over his opponent, Henry Clay, who believed the National Bank allowed the federal government to manage the well-being of the country's economy, Jackson decided to remove federal deposits, which was money that came in from customs officers collecting revenue in ports and other government funds, and deposit them in state chartered banks, which made it impossible for the bank to regulate the country's currency. I love it. Jackson's like, you know, I'm gonna put this under the mattress. Yeah. I'm gonna put this in the freezer. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put this in my mm-hmm. shoe. I'm gonna put it on my sock. And the bank is like, oh, where's the money? And how much do we have?
Right. And what is its value?
And what is its value?
He's like, I'm gonna try and solve this problem that nobody seemed to think was a problem. By moving the money around, it's going to cause some other problems. And when somebody tries to shoot me about it, I'm going to club them.
Double down. Yeah. To me, this is a quintessential making a mountain out of a molehill.
Uh-huh.
Andrew Jackson.
Uh-huh.
This move of basically creating all these little state banks and screwing over the federal bank further provoked Congress, whose members saw it as a huge overreach of executive power.
True. Sure.
I would say sure. Absolutely. Yes,
they've passed.
Absolutely.
They've passed the law. Why are you angry?
Yeah. Also, you can't just like create banks. Andrew. Andrew. In response to his move, the Senate censured Jackson in 1834 for, quote, assuming power not conferred by the Constitution, end quote. It was the first and only time a Senate ever censured a president. Agreed.
They're like, I feel like we could have found some other opportunities for censorship.
Oh, for sure.
Just a few.
But I appreciate that it was applied here. I think it's warranted.
Yes. Great. We're trying something out.
The back and forth battle became known as the Bank War. It transfixed the country to the point where even some with clear mental instability could easily reference it in his assassination attempt, not naming names, Richard Lawrence. It is interesting, though, of, like everything going on in 1835 that like this is what his mind latches onto is like
right.
the horrible thing going on that he has to seek justice for. It's like the banks.
Right.
So, but you know what? I'm not here to criticize Richard Lawrence. No. I mean, I am. You can't shoot somebody. Like,
That's bad.
But it's an interesting motive.
It is. I would say. It is. Well, it's very complicated.
Yes.
I'm shooting you because of the banks.
I'm shooting you because of the banks, because you might know me, 15th century King Richard III.
Oh, yes.
And hello, you owe Richard. Me money, and I can't get this money unless the banks exist. So give me my money. And you killed my father. So
fuck off. Give me my money.
So fuck off.
So let's talk about the aftermath of the assassination attempt. Richard Lawrence was most likely a mentally unstable individual with no connections to Jackson's political rivals, but Jackson was convinced that Lawrence had been hired by his Whig Party opponents to assassinate him.
I just kind of want to be like, Jackson, have you seen the Whig Party? Like, come on.
Come on. They're not.
They're not hiring assassins. They're not that groovy.
No,
like, your party would be the one to hire assassins. You know what I mean? Like, you're the groovier party. It's true. Also, like, spend 2 minutes with Richard Lawrence, and I think you can suss out that he's not with the Whigs.
Yeah, he's not with the Whigs. No. He's not with anybody but the people in his own mind.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Jackson's Democrats and the Whigs were locked in battle over Jackson's attempt to dismantle the Bank of the United States, known as BUS. His vice president, Martin Van Buren, was also weary and therefore carried two loaded pistols with him when visiting the Senate. So, like, they're on high alert because they think somebody's going to shoot them over the banks. Could you imagine? Like, at least we've moved past that. We're like, we just now, like, yell obscenities to each other on the Senate floor and call each other names and whatever. Yeah. Like, people, no, like, you're not, like, you know, nobody's walking in with, like, a, you know, pow, like, so you're going to shoot somebody over the decision.
This is when Congress was groovy, right? Where, like, if you shot somebody, but they were being a jerk, and, like, they weren't being a gentleman, it's justified. So,
yeah.
Also, shout out to Martin Van Buren, whose house I have famously been to, for carrying around not one but two loaded pistols. He's like, you're not going to catch me flat-footed in this Senate. Try and shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
Try and shoot me, and I'll show you just how bad of a president I am in 10 years' time.
Come at me. So this was the first attempt to assassinate a sitting president, and in the aftermath, attention was focused less on how to keep the president safe and more on the flinging of wild accusations. Surprise.
Okay.
Kel surprise.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's Andrew Jackson. Nobody in their right mind is going to be like, we have to figure out how to keep Andrew Jackson safe. I'm like, he's fine. He's in charge of his own security. He's got a cane.
He's got his club.
He's got, obviously, something watching over him, because this guy's got 9 lives. Okay. So let's just talk about the name calling, and then we can move on.
Jackson's suspicions were never proven, and Richard Lawrence spent the rest of his life in a mental institution. Here's the part I talked about at the beginning when they did the study. Mm. They did the study. Okay, here we go.
Go off.
Here we go. A century later, after the assassination attempt, Smithsonian Institute researchers conducted a study of Lawrence's derringers, the guns, pow-pow.
Guns.
The guns, during which both guns discharged properly on the test's first try. It was later determined that the odds of both guns misfiring during the assassination attempt were 1 in 125,000.
I mean, of course it is. It's Andrew Jackson. Of course these are the odds. And I wonder, because again, we have no real, like, recollection or, I mean, like, I know eyewitnesses were kind of there, but maybe it was that, like, Richard Lawrence fumbled with it. You know, like, maybe it wasn't the gun's fault.
So
maybe it was Richard's fault.
It could have been. Some historians have also speculated that the unusually humid weather contributed to the double misfiring. Because it's wet. It's but sticky. Like, it's wet. Pow-pow. Ba-pow.
Yeah, but I'm also like, okay, if I'm Smithsonian and I'm doing research, I'm like, go to the Amazon forest and do this study. Like, go to the humidity and fire these pistols. If you were firing these pistols and doing this research in a dry climate, no. Let's recreate Washington, D.C. in 1835 in January.
Tis a swamp.
Tis a swamp. Fire the pistols. Let me know. Okay, so we're going to end this with something you've given me, which is a fun, totally separate story, which we never do, but I am here for it, so I can't wait to find out what this is.
Because you know what? It has to do with one of Jackson's nine lives.
Oh, perfect. Great. So Jackson was also the target of the first recorded physical attack on a president. This is not surprising at all. Nobody likes Andrew Jackson.
No.
He had ordered a dismissal of Robert Randolph from the Navy for embezzlement on May 6th, 1833. So this is only 2 years before Richard Lawrence shows up and tries to shoot him not once but twice.
Right.
Jackson sailed on the USS Signet to Fredericksburg, Virginia, where he was to lay the cornerstone on a monument near the grave of Mary Ball Washington, George Washington's mother. During a stopover near Alexandria, Randolph struck the president. He fled the scene, chased by several members of Jackson's party, including the writer, Washington Irving.
Like, the fuck? Who is not saving this man?
This is like 1830s Midnight in Paris. Do you know what I mean? Where all these random people keep showing up in the same place.
Right. Like, where is, what's her face? Kathy Bates. Like, where is Kathy Bates in this?
Where is Kathy Bates? Where is she? That's correct. Do you think that Robert Randolph's fleeing of, after he punched Andrew Jackson, I assume, in the face, do you think that inspired him running away, the story of the Headless Horseman?
Oh my God. Well, one can
Washington
hope.
Washington Irving. One can hope.
Like, one wow, can yes.
Hope. I don't know. You tell me. I don't know.
I don't know, but it's plausible. It's plausible.
Love that. And unsurprisingly, Jackson decided to press no charges. I'm pretty sure this is a guy who is used to being punched in the face.
He's like, I'll deal with that. You got one in. Like, all right, cool. Like, bye. I don't want to waste my time with you.
Yeah, I'm still the president of the United States. Like, okay, you are dismissed.
Right.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Bye. That's a fun, great story. And that is the end of our episode on the assassination attempt of Andrew Jackson. Lots of twists and turns in this one. I really didn't expect to see sort of the gambit of U.S. historical figures showing up in this conversation.
No.
But I'm glad they came. I'm glad they came. So with that said, you guys, we love you so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.